Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. It's International Accounting Day, Tone. What's your favorite number?
I'm Tony Kornheiser, 34, the number of years since the Bears won the Super Bowl.
Oh, you mean it's not 51, the number of years since the Jets last won the Super Bowl?
I'm doing it. Wait, I'm doing it. The only highlight we've ever had, if you're a Jets fan, this is
yes,
it. That's it. Yeah. That's all there
so
is.
So at least 34 is Walter Payton's number, but 51 is Dick Butkus' number. 51 years for you, big boy. How's that feeling?
It's a long time. I don't know whose number that is. I don't care anymore. It's a long time. Again, this. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the SEC postpones more games. The White Sox stand by Tony La Russa, and Augusta shows off its fall foliage. But we begin today with the New England Patriots taking 59 minutes and 59 seconds to beat the winless Jets last night on a 51-yard field goal by Nick Folk. The Patriots are now 3-5, but for some reason, all the morning talk shows fixated on the Patriots getting back in the race. Wilbon, is this a win the Patriots should be encouraged by?
Yes, of course they should. Tony, I particularly enjoyed Cam Newton last night. And every time you saw him interviewed by anybody, but particularly starting with Lisa Salters, he had a smile on his face like you haven't seen since he was at Auburn, it seemed. It seemed it was that long. And Lisa even said to him, it's great to see that smile on your face because we haven't seen it. Of course they should feel encouraged. They should feel uplifted. They should feel all these exciting things. But it doesn't mean the rest of us should think they're in a race. They're not in anything. They barely beat the Jets, the most pathetic team in football. So, no, the rest of us have to step back and say, sorry, you party on, but the rest of us are a little skeptical.
I'm going to say the exact same thing you just said, but in slightly different words. I, too, am happy for Cam Newton. He threw the ball pretty well. That was nice.
He did.
Good for him that he got a win. But they went down to the buzzer with a team that's going to be 0-16.
Right.
They went down to the buzzer. The Patriots have no deep threat. They have no particular speed. They have nobody who scares you. So if you think you're getting them back in a race, you're insane. They're not going back in the race. No.
That's right, Tony. The overreaction now to every single NFL game, it's beyond annoying me. It's just downright stupid. Because there's too many smart people who just sort of have a knee-jerk, wild reaction from one side of the room to the other every time an NFL team wins a game. I mean, I'm sorry, is there no perspective? Can you not look at this a little bit more critically and just don't go wild whenever somebody wins or loses? The Patriots
That's so interesting.
They started the season. I thought they were going to be a much better team, Tony, maybe a 9-win team or a 10-win team, but they're not going to be that. They're not any good.
Yeah, it's interesting that you would say people overreact, like when they want to fire Mike Zimmer. The other thing that was a big deal on the talk shows this morning was how Sam Darnold has to be traded immediately because they're going to get the first draft pick and be Trevor Lawrence. And when Trevor Lawrence is asked about this, he goes, I'm not talking about that. I'm keeping my options open at this point. Adam Gase and Sam Darnold, according to the GM, will be back next year. Do you think anybody believes that? Do you think that Adam Gase believes that? Because that's crazy.
If he is back, indictment.
It's crazy. They're going to go 0-16. They've only got two teams on their schedule. Two left. The Chargers and the Patriots at New England.
They're not winning either one of those.
On the last day of the season.
They might win an upset. They're not winning those two games or either one of those two games.
No. That's
the SEC, moving to the college ranks, postponed two more of this weekend's games. Alabama-LSU was off due to an outbreak among the Tigers, and Texas A&M's game with Tennessee will be rescheduled as the Aggies are dealing with infections. Also, Auburn paused workouts today after 9 players and 3 staff members tested positive. The Tigers game this weekend against Mississippi State, that was already postponed. Tone, what do you make of the state of college football right now?
Well, the first thing I think of is that everybody should have started earlier. They should have started in August, and they'd be almost done by now. The Big Ten and the Pac-12 shouldn't have delayed. They should have gone earlier. It's pretty easy to figure out what's happening. These are not pros. They're not in a bubble. They're college kids doing what college kids do. They get the virus. They bring it into the meetings. They give it to the coaches. I would be very interested to know what percentage of college athletes what their positive rate is compared to regular college students who are floating around campus. Mike, my feeling ultimately is cancel what you have to cancel, postpone what you have to postpone, but if schools can play, let them play. It's not like you didn't see this coming.
Yeah, Tony. I mean, if we can go back and get the tape from this show in June and July, I kept saying every day, and I know you got tired of it at the time, I got tired of saying it. How's football going to do this? And now we're finding out. I hope they are able to do it, Tony. But let me just say this. The Pac-12, which we didn't mention very much in there. How are they going to have anything that resembles a season? Maybe they should just, couldn't get to week one. Maybe they should just say, you know what? It's too late. We wanted to try it. We understand. Forgive us. But we may not do this at all. Because you look at what's coming for them, you just don't know. But, Tony, I feel bad. You talked about the rate for college athletes versus the rest of the college student body. I bet you it's lower than the rest of the student body at college. I bet you it is. In some places, those kids aren't tested every day. And their results certainly aren't publicized. They're not made public. I don't mean by name. I mean by number. So we don't have any idea. But I'm looking at this thinking, as a guy whose school is 3-0 and looking up, and I want to see these games,
you wanna
Tony.
Play. You want to play.
I always did want to play. I just thought the science may say otherwise is necessary.
I'm going to say this. You know, time and time again, I find myself saying this, that if you've got an 80-man roster and 40 of them can play and they want to play because they went to college to play football, like Justin Fields said, like Trevor Lawrence, he got it. Now he's done with it. Now he wants to play. I'm more like the Nebraska people than you are. I really think if you can physically play, then go play. Just go play. Let's move on.
Just to clear this up one more time, since I have to deal with the Nebraska people. I didn't say Nebraska kids shouldn't want to play. And Nebraska's kids, let me be very clear about this. Nebraska's kids and Penn State's kids and Iowa's kids, they didn't want to play any more than the kids of the schools whose presidents and chancellors said, we're not going to play. My problem with anybody in our conference who said, we want to go play elsewhere because you won't let us play, my statement, very loud and clear, I'll say it one more time, is get out. That was my problem. Not that kids want to play. They all want to play.
Tony La Russa was recently hired to manage the Chicago White Sox. It was a big story because La Russa is a Hall of Famer and he is 76 years old. Now it turns out the day before the White Sox signed La Russa, he was charged with drunk driving stemming from a February incident. Bob Nightingale writes in USA Today that La Russa is in no danger of losing his job or even being disciplined. Wilbon, are you okay with this?
Tony, I don't think so. And even more than that, my problem is specifically with La Russa. It's not yet with baseball, which is going to probably face in the hours and days subsequent to now a backlash. We haven't heard from public opinion yet, all right? But, Tony, for La Russa to say no comment comes off as arrogant, which he is, and it comes off as stupid, which he is not. But my problem is with La Russa. It's like, I mean, how tone deaf are you, dude? These are not times where that kind of permissiveness should just be brushed off, out of my way. I don't have time to listen to you. Because if Tony La Russa is not smarter than that and doesn't become a little more self-aware, then baseball should step in.
So I think that this is going to have a different ending than the ending Bob Nightingale is reporting from what he is being told. Jerry Reinsdorf has nobody to lay this off on, nobody. It's his
That's
call.
Right.
He wanted to make up for firing Tony La Russa and his Hall of Fame career and bring him back. And we both understood that completely. So it lays on Reinsdorf's lap now. And he's got to find out from his constituency in Chicago, is this okay? I can foresee him saying something like, I tried this, it didn't work out, we're going to have to move on. Because there are going to be a community of people out there who are going to say, how can Tony La Russa manage other people if he cannot manage himself? If this is the second time that he has gone through this, I don't want to be holier than thou. I have made many mistakes in my own life, but in this particular case, in a pandemic when responsibility, individual responsibility is greater than ever, I have a hard time seeing that he will manage the team. I'm not saying get rid of him. I'm saying right. I think that's the end game here, and maybe you do too.
Yeah, Tony, I think I do. Look at my ring. It's not good enough. As a matter of fact, it's so over the top, in your face, arrogant, that the White Sox should not tolerate it And baseball should not tolerate it. And La Russa's had a chance now, Tone. He's had some time to figure out the situation, how serious it is. And his whole thing is just, do you know who I am? Uh-uh. That's not good
enough. There are athletes that we both know that always take a driver with them so this doesn't happen. Let's take a break. But coming up, rookie quarterbacks Justin Herbert and Tua face each other on Sunday. Who you got?
And is Augusta prettier in the fall than it is in the spring? Foliage talk is next.
It's pretty all the time. It's pretty,
beautiful.
Augusta.
It's beautiful, but I don't know that it looks fall-like. Yeah. What you and I think of as from being from colder places is fall-like.
Pardon the interruption is presented by Grey Goose. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Vegas has me as a heavy favorite for today's toss-up. They should. Let's see if it pays off. What's first?
Toss-up. They play on Sunday. Who you got? Justin Herbert or Tua?
So I want to make myself very clear on this. I think Justin Herbert is a better quarterback right now than Tua. I do. I would take him right now over Tua, though Tua is 2-0 in the pros and Herbert is 1-6. But I like the team that Tua is playing for more at this point. Justin Herbert's team doesn't win. They lose very close, 6 games by 24 points, but they lose all the time. I think we are looking at a game between one coach who could be coach of the year and another coach who could be fired out the door at the end of the year because his team doesn't win.
Yeah, and I'll say this as you said earlier. I'm going to say the same thing with different words. I'm not taking the Chargers over the Dolphins. The Dolphins are a better team. The Dolphins look like they may not be able to catch Buffalo in the AFC East, but they look like a playoff team. And Tua was the quarterback of a playoff team, right? And Herbert is not the quarterback of a playoff team. So I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins, and I'm going to take that in my confidence pool when I fill those numbers out, Tony, because Tua's coming along now. He's got enough time. It's too small a sample to take him over Herbert, who has played well all season, even though he didn't have the wins.
That's right. But the team is better. His team is better.
Yep.
Next.
Toss-up, what looks better, the April Masters or the November Masters?
So this comes down to one question and one question only. How much do you like azaleas? Because azaleas are not walking through that door in November.
That's right.
You are going to get leaves of beautiful colors. Now, I know and you know people that drive hundreds of miles to see autumn leaves. Nobody's driven 50 feet to see an azalea bush. That has never happened.
Azaleas are
Augusta,
beautiful.
They are, but nobody drives to see them. If I'm Augusta and I chill the azaleas so that they don't get ruined in the April heat, I may inject the trees with color to get more color on the leaves. I may give Botox to the trees. And I want to see the Masters, and I know you do too.
Yeah, but Tony, what I've seen so far, and my father's from Georgia. I've spent some time in Georgia in the fall or Thanksgiving. That leaves aren't changed. It's not New England. It's not going to be just on fire. And if you watch
then
my guy get live from the Masters, well, they might paint the ground. They're not painting the trees.
Tony,
there's not that much color right now in Augusta in terms of the fall foliage. You want to do that? Drive to Maine. And right now, Tony, with global warming, sorry for those of you who are non-believers, with global warming, Georgia, they may not change colors until Christmas down there. So there's not, Tony, it doesn't look that much different to me except for, as you said, the absence of the azaleas.
No azaleas. No, that's it. Don't go for azaleas now. Wait. That's it. Congratulations to everyone who bet on me. As always, let's take one last break. Still to come, Ben Roethlisberger won't be practicing with the Steelers for at least a few days, and we will tell you why.
And will the Mets win big, win soon? A lot of optimism today from their new owner.
You're backing and filling on Nebraska. You hated the fact that Frost said he wanted to play.
That's right.
He should want
make any
to
bones.
Play.
No.
He should want to
then,
play.
Then get out. Get out.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 24th birthday, Drew Locke. From the day John Elway retired, Denver has been searching for the next John Elway. Now that he is running the team, John Elway is searching for the next John Elway. They've gone through a million guys, spitting most out quickly. Jake Plummer and Tim Tebow had some success. Peyton Manning took them to two Super Bowls, but he was old by then. The new hope is Locke. He was picked in the second round out of Missouri in 2019 and immediately served notice that he thought he was special by asking for a quarterback premium deal. So far, Locke is okay, not great. 2-3 play in the full game this year. 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. A week back, Locke beat the Chargers on a last-second pass. Everybody beats the Chargers. And he broke into an oddly interesting dance. A bunch of people criticized the dance, probably some actual dancers, but Locke said he'd keep doing it. Couldn't do it on Sunday because Denver lost to Atlanta and Locke completed only 52% of his passes.
Tony, there's a little bit too much Jay Cutler in him, it seems to me. And when you're playing in a town that's celebrated and most people, many people, still remember John Elway, just stop because it looks bad. And Elway, on the other hand, maybe he just wants to forever show that he is the quarterback of the Denver Broncos. And with all due respect to Peyton Manning, who won, John Elway is the quarterback forever of the Denver Broncos.
Oh, absolutely. Happy anniversary, Ron Jaworski. On this day, 35 years ago, with the Eagles backed up to their own 1-yard line in overtime, Jaws hit the aptly named Mike Quick with a pass that he took the distance, waving the last 25 yards for a 23-17 victory over the Falcons. So even then, the Falcons were losing heartbreakers. And that was before Arthur Blank was dancing on the sideline. The 99-yard completion is the longest in overtime history. Good luck trying to break it. On a personal note, it feels so good to talk about Jaws. Wilbon and I love him, and not just because he owns golf courses and would let us play for free. Jaws and I worked together on Monday Night Football, and he has been a guest on this show hundreds of times. He's probably the most popular quarterback in the history of the Eagles. He would give you the shirt off his back, but usually it's a shirt he got for free from a lumber or a linoleum company. Come on, we kid because we love.
Tony, two of my favorites, Jaws, of course, for all the reasons you just stated, and Mike Quick, who looks like he's about 30 years old and is the analyst on Eagles games even now. Just two of the nicest guys I've ever met in my time in covering sports.
A melancholy trails to Tommy Heinsohn. The beloved Boston Celtics player, coach, and broadcaster died today at 86. The Boston Globe points out Heinsohn was involved in all 17 Celtics championships in his various affiliations with the organization. It was Heinsohn who played alongside Bill Russell and fellow Holy Cross grad Bob Cousy at the beginning of the Celtics dynasty. Heinsohn was on 8 championship teams in 9 seasons. as a rough physical forward in the early NBA. Former teammate Frank Ramsey once said of Heinsohn, he'd knock his grandmother down for 2 points. Heinsohn was inducted into the Hall of Fame, and his number 15 hangs in the Garden rafters. Heinsohn also coached the 1974 and 76 championship teams and then spent decades broadcasting. He was an eager shooter as a player, prompting Cousy to say, give Tommy credit for one thing, he never shoots without the ball. Heinsohn was an easy, affable target for Red Auerbach's tirades. Heinsohn said, Red would say, Tommy, you got to do this. Tommy, you got to do that. And that goes for you too, Russell. Heinsohn's longtime broadcast partner, Mike Gorman, once said, Tommy doesn't really do color. In his heart, he's still coaching the Celtics, and he always will be. Tommy will be coaching this team till he takes his final breath.
Tony, I think I learned a valuable lesson as a young man. I hate evolving Tommy Heinsohn. I hated Heinsohn growing up watching the Celtics. I hated the Celtics. And Heinsohn was a symbol to me of a lot of what the Celtics were after Russell, even when Russell was there. But then I started life as a sports writer, going to a lot of NBA games and a lot of them in Boston. And over the subsequent 40 years, up until, you know, 2 years ago in the playoffs, you go in that room, you know, and Heinsohn would be in there holding court. And the first time I ever went in there, I sat down and I listened and I was like, oh, my God. What's better than listening to Tommy Heinsohn? And I'm not going to say we became friends, but he was just great to me. I listened to this. Yes. This came as a shock and a downer to me to hear that Tommy Heinsohn, one of the great figures in the history of basketball in America, is gone.
One of the great voices ever in basketball.
Absolutely.
There's no question
Absolutely.
About that. We have omissions. NFL owners voted to increase the playoffs from 14 teams to 16 if the league loses meaningful regular season games. It also voted to give 2 third-round draft picks to teams that develop black head coaches and GMs. Let's go to the big finish. Devin Williams of the Brewers, Kyle Lewis of the Mariners won Rookies of the Year. Good choices?
Yes, Tony, seemed like fine choices in a difficult year. The Steelers put Ben Roethlisberger and 3 others on the COVID reserve list as close contacts of tight end Vance McDonald, who tested positive. Your thoughts?
If they test negative continuously, get no symptoms, they will play on Sunday. Kevin Cash could win AL Manager of the Year tonight. Is that all right with you?
I know it's a regular season award and he earned it over that time, but actually, Tony, no. Given subsequent circumstances, no, it isn't. New Mets owner Steve Cohen says it'll be slightly disappointing if his team doesn't win a World Series in the next 3 to 5 years. Your thoughts?
Good for him. He spent a lot of money. He wants to win. Doesn't mean he will. Last one, Maxson tonight. 3 games. Pick a winner.
Ohio, Kent State, and Buffalo. Write those down, Tony. Go to the bank.
That's 3 winners. Out of time. Try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. Now, let's throw it to SportsCenter.
Lance Barrow, shout out. Friend of mine.